Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Barbara Lane.
And Barbara, we have two of the higher IQs in the room.
That's for sure.
At least that's what we've heard.
I don't know.
Have you?
Hearsay. Don't believe everything you hear.
And we're joined by
David Pallison
and Winston Smith.
And have you, either of you, had an IQ test?
Yeah, when I was a child.
Yeah. Did your parents tell you what you got on that?
They never did.
Uh huh.
I've just always assumed that was not good.
They didn't want to disappoint you.
I've been overcompensating ever since. Okay. I can barely follow these conversations, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right. You know.
David?
I have, actually.
And it came out pretty well.
Give us a number.
It was
a number. We all want, inquiring minds want to know.
People make
what is David Pallison's IQ?
Aren't these private details?
Okay, great. All right, you don't have to tell us. I took an IQ test as a kid. My mom was, you know, very loving, but she didn't tell me till later. She said, you know, I had done very well, but she said the doctors were concerned. The doctor said, you know, he did very well on the test, but he thinks the rules don't apply to him.
Yeah, that's not an IQ problem.
It does not sound like you.
Well, yeah, right. My mom told me this when I was like 25, coming out of, you know, partying in college, and it was like, Mom, if you could have just told me that 8 years ago, that might have gone a little bit. No, of course, I don't think I would have changed anything.
All in God's providence.
Yes, yes. I just thought that was funny.
I think you're doing well with the rules now.
Thanks. Yeah. It's all that matters to me. A personal question. What has been your greatest joy over the past week?
I had the opportunity to meet with a family over a couple of days this week. And it was just, you know, they're here because there were real challenges that they were facing. But it was just so encouraging to be with people who were wrestling so well. And we were able to kind of observe together God's faithfulness in it. And to me, those are the golden, rewarding, joyful moments of ministry where you can just celebrate with people, even in the midst of wrestling, a sense of where God is active and faithful and how to move forward.
Mm. I think for me, it was in a very different sphere, just personal, interpersonal. I'd been away for a week and got back, jumped straight into a whole bunch of responsibilities. And Nan and I had barely connected, and you know how those are. There's these little crossed wires that are hard to sort out in the moment. And Saturday, which was, 4 days ago, we had an opportunity to just take a walk and have a picnic in a lovely nature preserve near us. And it was just spectacular. Mm. Beautiful fall day, bright sky, sunset time, cool and warm at the same time. Just terrific time personally and interpersonally, just connecting with each other. So it was probably my greatest joy. And then I proceeded to immediately get sick the next day, and I've been sick ever since. So it was this one flash of highlight in the midst of a very busy week in different ways, busy 10 days in different ways.
Well, I've been on one of those Pallison picnics, and I have to tell you, folks at home, I grew up in this home where a picnic would basically be burgers and chips. It would be lots of grease. Of course, I'm sorry, Mom, that I'm telling everyone this. But when you go to the Pallisons, there's sparkling water, and there's like a baguette. And there's cheese that they like to cut up, and it's all sorts of different kinds of cheese you've never had before, and hummus. It's
like a Mediterranean romp through the woods.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Exactly. Well, this week we're going to talk about depression, and the question goes like this. As a counselor, have you ever been low or depressed? How has the Lord walked with you through that time? Is there a scripture verse that has been particularly helpful to you personally or in counseling those who struggle with depression?
Actually, I've shared this in lots of different contexts, but when I was in college, I went through a period of I would call like an anxious depression. It was equal parts anxiety and depression, and it was interesting. There are a lot of factors that went into me kind of recovering and growing through that. But one was I sort of, you know, from a human perspective, got sort of inadvertently turned on to C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. And I'd never read them before. I hadn't been exposed to them. And I just, I read through them like really slowly over several months. I think the Lord used that to kind of surprise me. Of course, the gospel is clearly in those books, and Jesus, I think, is portrayed well in those books through this fictional character Aslan. But it was a different of enough context and a different of enough narrative that it drew me in and hit me in ways that scriptures I'd perhaps become too accustomed to weren't speaking to me anymore. And it was just a simple, there were simple messages of God is with you on this journey. It's okay that it's hard, but he's faithful and there's a direction and good things can happen. And just sort of soaked in that kind of sweet childlike level of understanding for a while. It was really helpful for me.
I went between 2000 and 2006. I went through 6 years almost of just shattering fatigue, and the net effect was my life was a cascade of losses and losses of social life, ministry life, ability to do things, and those were dark years and brightened on occasion by you getting married to my daughter, and
was not brightening. Tell me the truth.
And another marriage. Our son got married. Those were actually real highlights, wonderful days. But I don't like using the word depression. I'll quote William Styron, the famous novelist who wrote a book about his. He called it depression, but he said, you know, the word depression reveals a tin ear for the English language. It's a word that describes an economic downturn or a dip in the ground. And he says, what a bland word for such a horrifying human experience. And he prefers the old melancholy, which, you know, black darkness. And Styron, as a novelist and a more poetic mind, I think, has a real insight there into the fact that there are times in life that are just very dark. And so I'd rather than say a lower or depression, I think I'd rather talk about a dark, extremely dark time or time of great sorrow and anguish and heartache and discouragement and such. One of the things that was tremendously helpful in the late 90s, we actually we did several special issues of the Journal of Biblical Counseling on depression. Out of that, Ed Welch's book came. But there were a number of other articles that didn't make his book, one of which was a sermon by Charles Spurgeon on Psalm 23. And he talked about the depression of Jesus. And I think the language had been updated. He probably talked about the melancholy of Jesus. The fact that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, walked through the valley of the shadow of death, faced enemies and dark discouragement as a man in what he faced. And one of the things that resonated from that particular Spurgeon sermon was one, I thought it very dignifying of the human struggle in what gets called depression, that Spurgeon is so willing to say Jesus knows the darkness of human emotional life, and he's been there. And then that Psalm 23 is such a bearer of what I think is, if you had to pick one thing, it is absolutely bedrock that you are not alone. And there is someone who cares for you, and though you walk through a very dark valley, you loving kindness and goodness follow you all the days of your life. It's one of those paradoxes in Scripture that Psalm 23 distills into a very condensed form. I would say, you know, I would probably phrase the question slightly different. You asked what scripture is meaningful, and I've shared one, but if I were to come at, and as I've come at helping people who have been very depressed, and I like counseling people who are depressed. I feel for them. I value them. I respect them. I have hope for them. I would say that the human part of what we bring to a struggler is, it's the human analog to that you're not alone. I am with you. I understand you. What you're saying has things that are overwhelming or inexplicable to us, but it is not outside the pale of human experience. You know, we're in this together. And one of the things that I learned early on in working with depressed people is that there are always two counselors in the room, and a depressed person is a very powerful counselor. They will counsel you to despair as you try to help him or her. Mm-hmm. And to learn that one of the things that in coming to bring light and hope, both biblical and personal, to a person, I need to always be the bearer of hope to a person that feels no hope. And it's been neat to see how, in working with some profoundly depressed people, I've never given up on them. You know, it's a grace of Christ in my life. Just been able to continually have a hope that week by week, month by month, could be refreshed. Never boilerplate, never the same thing, exactly the same words, but always with hope, always with a vision that there's a way forward, even through a great sense of personal angst.
And, you know, that ties in with what you share about your own conversion, which was you are this existentialist who believed that death won, mm-hmm. but what brought you to Christ was this change in seeing that joy won. That hope won.
That's right. So if you've gone as deep down into staring death in the face, that's the most depressing thing of all. You know, mm-hmm. our lives are our vanity. We're just dust and a morning mist. And if there's something indestructibly good that is stronger than what is the corruption and destruction all around us, it gives you an unshakable hope. And
Encouraging.
Is that it?
I just want to say ditto to everything David said. I yield to his IQ.
The forever unknown. Maybe we'll know in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.